This podcast is about celebrating life, literally. It's about bringing new life into the world and additionally about the new life that is sparked in our community when important partnerships are forged for the sole purpose of bettering the lives of those in our community. The Midwifery Center is a visionary collaboration between who else? TMC, Tucson Medical Center, and El Rio Health to bring eligible families a space to birth normally. What a concept. Over the decades, the unique features of a birth center birth, midwife-led care, a non-interventive and physiologic approach to birth have been integrated into the maternity care offered at TMC. Recognizing this, TMC and El Rio Health saw an opportunity to join forces and offer all levels of maternity care in one facility. I, for one, as you can surely tell, am very excited about what our two guests are about to share with us. Hello, everybody. I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and this is Down to Earth Tucson. And I am thrilled to have in studio with me Greta Gill, Director, Midwifery for El Rio Health and Tucson Medical Center, and Dr. Sigrid Siri Williams, an OB hospitalist at Tucson Medical Center. And Siri, I hope I got that title right.
Yes.
And God knows my husband's been in the hospital quite a bit, and do we ever love the hospitalist? That is true. I have a lot of personal commentary I can do. So, Greta, I'd like to start way back when. We don't have to go quite back to the dark ages when I had my children, but there's a history to this, of getting from the fear that I discussed with you off air about my father when I said I was going to have my baby at home, and he was terrified, to where it is now, where there's much more acceptance, much more an embracing of the concept, up to the point, which we're going to share later, that Siri went to the Midwifery Center, and she's a doctor, so there's a real seal of approval. So give us the backstory a little bit of how do we get here?
Well, thank you for having me on the show. It's really a true pleasure to be here. And
with my big grin on my face, I mean,
it's really,
I'm so excited.
It's passionate. This is my favorite subject to talk about. And I'll share a personal story, which was that I was an undergraduate in the Women's Studies program at U of A, and I had absolutely no medical aspirations or medical training. And I learned about midwifery, and I was drawn to it. Because I thought, what a wonderful way to blend empowerment and advocacy and make social change right here within the inner workings of the U.S. healthcare system. So I had I had never seen a baby be born. I had really no practical experience. I was the baby of my family. My mom didn't have any children, but I was raised by a strong feminist, and her birth experience were pretty typical of the 1970s. The first one, she doesn't remember. She was in the hospital. It was a very long labor. She had forceps. She had an episiotomy. She had, you know, 4 or 5 days of quote-unquote confinement. And the second birth, my birth, I was born in a military hospital. The one radical thing that she was able to accomplish in 1972 was my dad could be in the delivery room.
Oh my gosh. Like to think that that was a revolutionary event.
At Fort Campbell, Kentucky.
Yeah.
But she still had anesthesia that she didn't want, and she still had an episiotomy that she didn't want. And so my mother's generation started the movement for change. They were some hippies, but mostly women who were becoming smart consumers and advocates for themselves in terms of, we were led to believe that birth out of the hospital in the early 20th century was unsafe, and that if you went to the hospital, that you would have less risk in childbirth. And in some ways, that was true. We made tremendous advances with blood transfusions and anesthesia and safe surgery. But the birth process quickly became obstetrics, which is not normal birth. It's the practice of medicine. It's viewing pregnancy as an illness, birth as a condition that needs to be treated, and you will be better off if you have interventions. And that worked in balance for a while, until really the 1980s, when the C-section rate became alarming and really some change started to mobilize, in that we know that birth by surgery is more complicated for women, mm-hmm. and it can lead to future pregnancy complications mm-hmm. as well as poorer outcomes mm-hmm. related to surgery. So the women of my mom's generation started saying, we're not going to go to the hospital. We're not going to have obstetricians. Or if we do choose to go to the hospital, we're going to say, we want our husbands, we want our partners, mm-hmm. we want to be awake, we want to be involved, we want to have our babies with us, and we want to breastfeed. And so in response to that movement, more and more midwives who had really been marginalized and under and pushed kind of underground and to the side with this movement of birth to the hospital started to come out and started to resurface and started to become professionals again. And so the nurse midwifery profession was started in the 1950s, but really didn't increase in numbers and really wasn't able to get hospital privileges and licensure and the ability to prescribe medications until the 70s and 80s. And so my mom's story is really what drove me to become a midwife with really a naive notion, but really the last 20 years of my practice have mobilized me even more that women deserve to have a normal approach to birth and women deserve to have someone to support them in what their bodies innately know how to do.
Mm-hmm. And what a great answer. And I so wish many times that we had video in here and that someone had a close-up on the number of times I got goosebumps because mm-hmm. I was part of that revolution.
Yeah.
And it was not easy. And you were mm-hmm. fighting, you were swimming upstream and people wanted to put fear into you. Fortunately, I had this friend, Martha Taylor, that was armed with facts. It was when there were no such thing as, you know, fake news and all that stuff. She had facts about how many cesarean sections, the complications from that, mm-hmm. how many, the really healthy atmosphere of home births, but it came with responsibility as well. You shouldn't just decide to have a home birth. I had good medical care or someone looking at all of my pregnancy progression to make sure that I was a good candidate to have mm-hmm. a home birth, mm-hmm. along with my midwife, who really had her, you know, finger on the pulse, so to speak. So let's start with the brief description of what I call the Midwifery Center at TMC is, because I think it says quite a bit. It's an accredited in-hospital birthing unit that provides a family-centered experience for women who are at low risk and who want to have a natural, unmedicated birth. That is like a sentence that I would have really hung on to if I had that option when I had my last baby, which things had, really progressed. And I just want to, I don't want to insert myself a lot into the show, but we talked about there are still lots of people who have fears or doubts or even misinformation about birthing units and unmedicated births. So I just wanted to quickly run through some of the facts that I was provided about what the landscape looks like in Southern Arizona to set the stage for the rest of our discussion. Midwives are board certified, advanced practice nurses who specialize in the care of normal pregnancy, newborns, and preventative women's health care. There are approximately 300 certified nurse midwives located in Arizona. Also in Arizona, the number of midwife attendant births, I love this one, it's goosebumps again, mm-hmm. has more than doubled in the last decade from 5.7 in 2007 to 13.5 in 2017, and that's the last year the data was available. And I always did want to ask about what does 5.7 look like, but that's a story for another day. Most midwife attendant births occur in hospitals, 98% in Arizona. Midwives have been on medical staff at TMC since 1982. This is like, I want to ring the bell. TMC is an industry leader in this regard, recognizing and expanding the important role that advanced practice nurses play on the healthcare team. Approximately 1 in 5 births at TMC is attended by a midwife. Can't wait for that to be like 3 in 5. Mm-hmm. This is my own personal opinion, everybody. TMC practices in a system where you independently manage low-risk mothers, the majority of your patients, collaboratively manage mothers with risk factors, and refer high-risk mothers to the obstetrician or maternal fetal medicine teams at TMC. And this team-based care model is endorsed jointly by the American College of Nurse Midwives and the American College of Obstetrician Gynecologists. And I think that is all important. Mm-hmm. And people who listen to the podcast can play it back because it talks about how professional, how there are levels of care all mm-hmm. thought out well mm-hmm. before mm-hmm. the birth happens. And, mm-hmm. you know, now on to the good stuff. It's like, that's the facts, Jack. But how did this come? How did it happen? It's so innovative. And the thought leadership that I see from El Rio and from TMC never ceases to amaze me. So how did it come about? Which one do you want to answer that, Greta? Because you've, sure. you've been on board
yeah.
with it. Yeah.
Yeah. So there has been a freestanding birth center in Tucson since 1982.
And I remember
Yeah, it has changed hands several times. It's been owned by midwives. It's been owned by physicians. It's been a nonprofit. And its last iteration was as a part of El Rio. And what we were noticing over the last 5 years is that while the number of women coming to midwives had increased, the newer generation, the millennials, are just not quite comfortable. They want a low intervention birth. They want to be with a midwife. They're just not quite comfortable being out of the hospital. So what we did was develop this hybrid model. And at the core of this hybrid model is the accreditation.
Yes.
The Commission for the Accreditation of Birth Centers was formed. It's similar to the Joint Commission. It makes sure that the care that's provided in a freestanding birth center is standardized and that quality and review are done regularly and it's licensed and all of those good things. But they also accredit in-hospital birthing units. And so once we were looking at where do women want to birth, it became a very obvious team approach. It became a very obvious collaboration that we have done some renovations in labor and delivery, and there literally was real estate, an entire hallway, to develop into these birthing rooms. And when we talked to our patients, they were very excited about the idea that they could have a birth center experience and that we were guaranteeing that they would have that low interventive by becoming accredited, that we would be having true fidelity to the model of birth center care, but that if there was a complication and they needed an obstetrician or they needed a neonatologist to care for their baby, that it wasn't an ambulance ride away, mm-hmm. that it was down the hall. And so we have been open since July 1st, but we have noticed an increase in women who are choosing this model because they feel like it's the best of both worlds. Yeah. It truly is a hybrid.
Mm-hmm. And it covers all bases because yes. as a mother, you care. You mm-hmm. care a lot. What if something goes wrong and that mm-hmm. fear is there? But thank God there were those of us that took the stand anyway. And,
yes.
And I'm just thankful that it turned mm-hmm. out all right. Mm-hmm. So what is the term physiologic birth? What does that mean? I threw that out in the beginning and I'm like, I don't even know what that means and I'm saying it. What is that?
It's definitely a new buzzword
term?
That's going around.
Physiologic birth.
It replaces the Lamaze or the previous terms about natural, the quote unquote natural childbirth.
Right.
Natural childbirth has been kind of thrown around very loosely in some cultures. Natural childbirth just means vaginal childbirth, not necessarily unmedicated childbirth. So physiologic is not just normal childbirth, but it's an approach where you start from a philosophical belief that women can get pregnant, carry their babies to term, go into labor on their own, and birth their babies in most cases with nothing more than support and watchful waiting and monitoring. And in a physiologic birth, women are encouraged to follow their own innate cues. If they want to be standing, they're standing. If they want to be on hands and knees, they're on hands and knees. If they want to use the tub, that's great. If it doesn't feel good, they don't have to. So it's not birth. It's not a model of care that's convenient for the healthcare providers. Mm-hmm. It's a model of care that puts the woman and her family at the center.
what a concept. It's like, I'm the one having the baby. How about making it work for me? Mm-hmm. It makes so much natural sense as far as the history of humankind. Mm-hmm. It makes sense with those things about making sure about the environment being clean, and all of those things can mm-hmm. have an impact. It doesn't have to be germ free, because mm-hmm. if you have it in your home, it's not germ free, but that's okay too. So
there's
I want
the hospital.
There is. That's right. So I'm going to ask you the first part, and then Siri, because I'm going to ask you from the physician's perspective mm-hmm. and the recent experience. Mm-hmm. But how is it different from what I would describe as the traditional hospital birth? What is the model? Do you think we've covered it enough? It's natural. It's paying attention to the mother. But is there anything that was left out?
Well, it's really the difference between midwifery and obstetrics, mm-hmm. because a Got midwife it. Is trained to know, to be an expert in normal labor and birth. And so we approach the care of a birthing woman as we expect it to be normal. And we're vigilant to detect complications, but we don't view it as a problem that would be better served with medicine in most cases. The traditional obstetrical view is a disease model. And so I don't want to in any way give an impression that I don't appreciate my physician colleagues, because certainly
Absolutely.
A team approach is in everyone's best interest. And there are occasions when women need forceps or vacuum, or they need a cesarean birth, and those things are wonderful. But rates of cesarean birth over 10% are unwarranted. Mm-hmm. And in developed countries, in Europe, in Australia, in countries, Canada, our neighbor to the north, where midwives lead the bulk of the maternity care, their outcomes are better as far as maternal and child health, maternal and newborn mortality, as well as very low. So that number of 10% or less comes from the World Health Organization. If you have resources and your care is midwife-led, then it's not that nobody should have a cesarean, mm-hmm. because it can be a life-saving and really important procedure mm-hmm. that all women should have available if they need it. But it should not be 1 in 3 of mm-hmm. births, which is what it is in the United States.
It's like so awful. That's a show for another day that yeah. I would love to take on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Siri, mm-hmm. from the physician's perspective, mm-hmm. you are not only... You stand by the midwives mm-hmm. and you are supportive of them. Mm-hmm. What do you see as the role of the midwife and you as the physician and as someone who chose this model yeah. to go to have your baby there 2 months ago?
Yeah, well, again, first of all, thank you so much for having me. Like Greta said, it's a pleasure
it's
to
so
be here.
It's so delightful.
And I am very happy to be able to talk about the advantages of midwives in general. As an OBGYN, as an obstetrician myself, I chose this career because I want to be there for women in the kind of the threshold moments of their lives when their whole life changes. And I love being there. And I know that the midwives have all chosen the career for the same reason. It's our commitment to women that leads us to work together. From my perspective, the huge difference is, as Greta said, that midwives are trained primarily in normal physiologic labor and birth. And me as an obstetrician, my training focused on all of the complications of pregnancy and childbirth and how to manage those and how to save lives in the minutes where it counts and where it's really needed. I was lucky where I trained in residency that I got to learn as an intern in my first year of training about physiologic birth from midwives. So all of my intern year, I just did deliveries with midwives. And that really shaped my view of both how we can integrate midwifery and obstetrics together in providing wonderful care for patients, and also what the role of a midwife and an obstetrician is. And I do view my role as someone who primarily supports a woman's decision in where and how she wants to give birth to the extent that I am able to safely, and then supports her through that time and gets her, you know, through the birth process healthy, happy, with a healthy, happy baby as well. And I, for a lot of women, that means choosing a midwife, and that's wonderful, and I completely support that. That's what it meant for me. I chose midwifery care for both of my babies. My first baby, I ended up being risked out of the birth center as I delivered her a bit premature. But the second baby, I was able to be at the birth center, and it was a wonderful experience. And I knew that my obstetrician colleagues were just down the hall if anything came up where I risked out intrapartum or during the labor process, that I could be transferred to a room easily and that it would go smoothly and that everyone was there to support me in aiming for the birth that I wanted. And I got very lucky to have it. And
it's
I want to provide the same for my patients.
Experience. I mean, it is just unbelievable. And I told you both a little bit off air that my daughter, we have a 5-month-old granddaughter, and she really wanted to have the baby at home. It did not work out. We were all just sullen and morose going to the hospital, and it worked out so wonderfully. And the reason is the midwives, these progressive women, and the doctor that bought into it. It was the most beautiful, wonderful, as close to home experience that we could have had. She didn't want the baby to be taken out of the room. Well, in the birth room, everything was done in there. They never lost contact with that baby. It was really wonderful. But there are other advantages that maybe we could talk about a little bit for women who choose the low intervention model and are at low risk. You said that one in three babies are delivered by C-section, but at the birth center, the cesarean birth rate is typically under 5%.
Yes.
Like, I want everybody who's listening who is of birthing age and thinking about it as a possibility. You want to lower your risk, go to this birth center and increase satisfaction. I'm sure I wrote a letter, like a novella, and it got published in the newspaper about what experience we had at this hospital. And then, does it impact cost at all? It has to be lower cost, yes, which should matter to all of us.
Well, definitely, if you're waiting for labor for the majority of women, then the hospitalization just isn't going to be that long because most labors are just not that long. If you're inducing labor in half of your patients, then you're doubling or even tripling the utilization of the hospital time to get the baby born. And so the midwifery model is, it's not that we never induce, but we induce for medical reasons.
Right,
And when women choose the midwifery center, many are ready to go home in under 12 hours. And one of the unique things about the midwifery center is that midwives are trained to be the newborn care provider for the first 30 days and to assist with lactation. And in fact, in other developed countries, midwives actually provide the newborn care for up to the first year because the mother and newborn are seen as a unit versus two separate people.
Because they are.
And so the midwives really do take care of the unit. But TMC, in order to develop the midwifery center, was the first hospital in Arizona to grant nurse midwives privileges to admit and discharge babies so that our moms would be able to leave the hospital in under 12 hours if they were healthy and the birth was normal and the baby was doing well and nursing well. And that isn't, okay, you've had a baby and bye, see you, you're out of here in 4 hours. We provide follow-up care in either our clinics or in the home and make sure that that couplet is doing well and that the transition is going normally.
It almost seems to me that it matters more. And you guys know how excited I was, but seeing what happened with my daughter out of the dark ages, she just wanted to go home after she had the baby. And I just wanted to go home when I had I don't belong in a hospital. I can't sleep. I'm exhausted. I just want to be in my own bed with my own pillows. But she was still a first-time mother. So the in-home care specialist, different than her mother, assuaged her fears, answered questions, because there's nothing like being a mother for the first time. I mean, it's absolutely and positively true. So to see that really work, is there, you talked about how the millennials and people in the know are looking more towards this model and utilizing it. Hopefully it'll be successful beyond measure. Is there a process that you could describe for us, for the Tucson listeners, of like, do you have to go to El Rio from the beginning? What does that process look like?
So as part of our accreditation, the birth center, or the midwifery center at TMC is midwifery-led care from midwives who all practice at El Rio Health. So to utilize a midwifery center, prenatal care is done through El Rio in one of the, we're soon to have five midwifery practices within El Rio sites.
Love it.
And so women can come to us. We frequently get women late in pregnancy who start to think about their birth plans and start having conversations with their care providers and realize that they're not aligned philosophically. And so they'll seek out midwifery care late in the pregnancy. And we do continuous risk screening. This is part of why we want women to have care with us so we can get to know you and we can do the risk screening so that you're an appropriate candidate for the midwifery center, the low intervention approach, and the early discharge.
So it's really a process of mm-hmm. really watching and knowing the patient. I don't mm-hmm. even like calling a patient. It's a mother. Mm-hmm. Like, I wish we could get rid of that because mm-hmm. it is a mother mm-hmm. and her baby. Mm-hmm. So, Siri, mm-hmm. for you, you had both babies in birthing centers?
That was my intention.
Second,
but my first.
So you can talk about what the mm-hmm. experience was mm-hmm. for this last baby mm-hmm. who's only 2 months old yeah. mm-hmm. and the difference. What was the experience that was so positive to
yeah.
you?
Well, I think the biggest difference was the discharge time. So I was admitted to the midwifery center at 2 a.m. My baby was born shortly before 4 a.m., and Greta discharged me just before noon. And so I spent 10
in
hours
and out.
Total.
Oh
there.
My gosh.
Yeah, and I was able to be home that first night with my new baby and my toddler and, you know, be a family together that first night. And it was really wonderful. So that was a huge difference. And then knowing I felt incredibly safe, honestly, in the midwifery center because it was what I had envisioned in my head throughout my whole pregnancy this time and what I imagined it would be like. And the midwife that delivered my baby was a midwife that I knew very well and felt very happy to see there when I was admitted. And everything felt safe and comfortable and home-like. With my older child, with my daughter, I was still very well taken care of and very safe and very lucky in that regards. But there was just naturally, because I was in the hospital and she was a bit preterm, there was a lot more intervention. I had an IV placed. I got fluids. I was more limited in my movement. I was monitored throughout the process in terms of like continuous fetal monitoring, looking at her heart rate the entire time instead of just intermittently to make sure that the baby was doing okay, which is what usually happens in the midwifery center. And I ended up staying because she was a bit premature, almost 6 days after she was born. Mm-hmm. And so the difference was huge. And I, as a provider, I just am so impressed with the care that the midwives give and the way that they can be fully present also in the room when they're there, that the number of patients that the midwives have in general is fewer than the number that the obstetrician has, and they're able to really be there with the woman as she labors. And that was invaluable to me during my labor as well. So the model of care is wonderful. The care that you receive is wonderful. And the fact that then I didn't have to worry, oh, if something goes wrong, where will I go? I knew I would just go down the hall and,
It's such a complete look at pregnancy mm-hmm. and care. Mm-hmm. And it seemed, when I was getting ready for the show, sometimes I get excited and sometimes I get really excited. Mm-hmm. And this was like, don't bother me. I'm really excited. For the wisdom of the TMC team to send you, Greta, with all of the background and the experience and knowing it. And I said, and they're really sending a doctor, an OBGYN, who had a baby there? This is like the trifecta for me. Uh-huh. I was like, yeah, uh-huh. you've got all the bases covered. So let's talk about, are there things you can't do, Greta, at the birthing center? Like, what are their, you're accredited by the
Commission for the
birth
Accreditation.
Centers. Yes. Right. So what is your commitment to them?
So what, this is really about the care model and the, to be able to tell women, if you choose this and you're low risk, then these are the typical outcomes. And we have many, many years of these outcomes that are very consistent. We applied the same standards and the same risk criteria as what we were using in the freestanding birth center to the midwifery center. So low intervention birth care is appropriate for women who are full term. So in Siri's case, her baby was preterm, so she needed a different level of care. That's why she risked out of her intended birth center birth plan. So moms are full term, so that's 37 to 41 weeks gestation, and labor has started on its own. And otherwise, the pregnancy has been healthy. So it's one baby, it's not twins, the baby's head down, not breech.
Got it.
The mother doesn't have health conditions like a high body mass index or diabetes or high blood pressure, in which that continuous fetal monitoring that Siri was describing is indicated. We are working with moms during pregnancy to empower them and prepare them for this experience, because it's not easy to have a baby.
It is not a walk in the park.
No matter where you are, it's called labor.
And for a reason.
We want to really have everyone have a realistic expectation of it's going to be hard work, but you're capable and you can do this. Mm-hmm. So it's about 45% of women who may say at, say, 10 weeks of pregnancy when they start care and planning birth center, who become ineligible prior to the onset of labor. The vast majority of those are cases where the baby is early or late. The other most common reasons are the water breaks and there's no labor, or baby's not head down, or the mom has high blood pressure or uncontrolled diabetes. In labor, the most common reason for having to transfer from the midwifery center to labor and delivery is just a very, very long and slow and exhausting labor. And in those cases, most moms still go on to have a normal birth. Mm-hmm. Those are the perfect labors for an epidural, because the mom is allowed to rest. The baby can maybe rotate if it's not in such a great position. Sometimes the labor has to be augmented a little bit with Pitocin. And most of the time, it still is a normal vaginal delivery. Mm-hmm. And then it's a very few number of moms or babies who run into trouble once the baby is born. The most common reason for a mom is just heavy bleeding or hemorrhage or a really bad tear in which she would need to go to,
right,
you know, an operating room type of a place to have the stitches done. And then babies who are born and have trouble with the transition from being in mom to outside of mom. So it's approximately 3% of all the births that run into postpartum or newborn complications.
That's such a low percentage, though. I mean, yeah. It's just, that's what I think the most important thing for me for this podcast is about, that we have the information out there of, you have to do your homework, you have to have good quality of prenatal care, and know thy physician, know thy midwife, do research. It's not hard. Make sure there's accreditation. There are things that really have to happen. And we could go on, I personally could go on, about four more hours, because it's a movement whose time has come. And it's such a positive thing for women. And it feels so respectful of the ones that give birth, of not treating it like an illness or a disease, and hooking me up to machines and all of those things. And it's not a fight anymore, because they can go to the midwifery center where all of those things, those fears, go out the door. So the other thing I want to make sure that we, because we have to come to a close soon, is there is care after the baby. And that really helped for my daughter. You're a new mother. So it's a whole, to me, it's a whole continuum of care that helps provide the best possible outcomes for the mother and the daughter. I had a granddaughter, so I'm saying the daughter, but you know, the child. I have to take it out of the grandmother experience here.
Yeah. And there's one more really important point that I think we need to emphasize, that TMC is a leader in a lot of programs and innovations. And we're really hoping that this midwifery center within the hospital is something that we can scale to a national model, because everybody has heard, we are in a healthcare crisis for a myriad of reasons. Our spending is out of control, and our people are not getting healthier. But particularly for moms, we are failing and we have an increasing maternal mortality rate in the United States. Mm-hmm. And part of that is just not having all the levels of care for every woman. Mm-hmm. So keeping low-risk women low-risk mm-hmm. and making sure that women who are high-risk have the obstetrician, have the maternal fetal medicine team that they need mm-hmm. so that we have safer outcomes for the money that we're spending because mm-hmm. it's not a good situation.
When you say that, I hope it shocks people mm-hmm. that the number of infant mortality
maternal mortality
rate yeah. is increasing.
Yeah. Increasing.
It blows my mind. Of all things that you could have said, I did not know that. And shame on us. Mm-hmm. Like, shame mm-hmm. on us, because mm-hmm. we do know better as a country. Mm-hmm. And it's putting women at an elevated place as we continue the species. There's a lot of good things I can say about women. So one last question for you, Siri, because mm-hmm. you are the whole green enchilada, as I say. You are the doctor. You are the mother in the hospital. You have the baby. Can you just speak to the value of the model overall for this? Because I think that's the takeaway I would love people to have.
Definitely. I think that this model is for the women who are low risk and who choose midwifery care. I think that it is the best possible world for them. And I would highly recommend that any pregnant woman who is low risk at least consider choosing a midwife. And I say that as an obstetrician.
As someone
as
who did.
Yes, and as someone who also did choose a midwife. Uh-huh. The amazing advantage is that you will get very personalized and very a lot of time in your ability or in your prenatal care with your midwife. You will then be cared for by someone who comes at your care and at your pregnancy with the mindset that you can do it and that you are empowered and that you are a strong woman who can have a baby in the physiologic way. And then you'll have labor support from someone who can recognize if a complication arises and if you need an additional level of care, they will recognize that. And if not, they will provide the support and reassurance that you need. And me, myself, as an obstetrician, there was a moment in my labor where I was looking at my midwife saying, can I do this? You know, and that's what you need in that moment is somebody who's there with you.
Every woman remembers. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Who will say, yes, uh-huh. you're doing it. You can do this. And who knows how to identify when you need additional help and who you can trust to do that. And then in the small chance that you do need additional help, I hope that knowing that there are physicians who are down the hall and who will attempt to still honor your birth choices in the best way that can keep you and your baby safe and will not try to run ramshot over you, but will listen to your choices and do their very best to respect those as long as it's safe for you and baby, then you know, that is an amazing opportunity to have. And I hope for the hopefully very, very small number of listeners who hear this, consider midwife care, plan to deliver at the birth center, and then ultimately end up meeting a physician like me. I hope that you know that we do support the midwives and that we will still try to get you the most physiologic birth that we can.
What a way to end. And usually, you know, I have a long, long paragraph about the last word for me because I always have something to say. This time it's going to be short. I believe that this innovative, exciting center really is all about celebrating life and helping women who want a different birth experience to have the choice to do just that. And honestly, it's not surprising to me at all that TMC and El Real Health were the organizations to make it happen. And on behalf of all women wanting that option, thank you.